Disagreements over the port lease emerge at a Skagway assembly meeting. And we'll have an update on commercial and subsistence fishing in the Northern Lynn Canal. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Abby Collins. Those stories are up next. At a meeting Thursday, Skagway Assembly members disagreed on many aspects of a proposed waterfront lease. The Assembly does agree that a new contract with White Pass and Yukon Route Railroad should go to a public vote. But what the document will look like depends on whether the six Assembly members can work through their differences. KHNS's Emily Files reports.
The issue driving the lease discussion is Skagway's need to install a floating dock for larger cruise ships by 2019. White Pass manages the cruise ship docks. In order to make renovations, the railroad wants a 20-year Tidelands lease extension. In an economic analysis, port consultants said if bigger ships aren't able to dock in Skagway, the town will still see an increase in cruise revenue. It'll just be much less of an increase than it could get with the larger vessels. That prompted resident Ken Russo to question whether it would really be that bad for the city to lose those ships.
Could you live with not as much of an increase for a year to give yourself some time to negotiate a real and effective and a fair and win situation for the city than being pressured into, we got to do this lease right now, I'm under the gun, got to do it.
I do respect what is being said, that is it the end of the world if we miss the boat 1 year?
That's Assemblyman Orion Hansen. He said maybe Skagway could sustain the loss in cruise revenue, but he worried about the negative effect that would have on local families. Hansen related it to his childhood, when his father couldn't find work in Skagway.
And so he went to Hoonah, and for a couple years he built houses in Hoonah. And I was four, five, 6 years old when that was happening. And it wasn't very fun. I really don't want to see us lose business to Hoonah again. So, personally, that's where I'm coming from. And I think we do have a crystal ball. We can see that's coming.
Hansen said he wasn't head over heels for the lease proposal, but he said it could be a palatable deal if the city negotiated it down to a 15-year term with higher rent payments and more control over the land. Mayor Mark Schaefer echoed something that's been said a few times. The lease extension could give Skagway time to work on its plan to take over management of the port.
So to me, this is sort of like an exit strategy where we regain control of the port, which is one of the things that people are asking for.
But the fact that city control wouldn't happen for another couple decades is a sticking point for some Assembly members, including Spencer Morgan. Previously, the Assembly said a 15-year lease might be okay, but Morgan said the city should try for an even shorter time frame of 10 years. Hansen is one of two Assembly members on the negotiating team. He responded to Morgan.
10 years, White Pass is not going to go for it. Period. They can't amortize it. They won't go for it.
My point is put that proposal forward and let them work with it.
Well, so it was 20 years. We came with 10 years and we settled at 15 years.
Maybe we don't.
Assembly members continued to butt heads as they talked about the lease issue. Hansen asked his peers for specific direction that he and Tim Cochran could take to their next negotiation meeting. Instead, the Assembly decided to schedule a special meeting on Wednesday, July 26th, to work on the details of the city's counterproposal. Jay Burnham said maybe the city shouldn't acquiesce to White Pass's request for a new lease. He said the cruise ship floating dock shouldn't be contingent on a new 15 or 20-year contract.
If they don't want to just look at the floating dock, then that's on them. They're the ones stopping the municipality from moving forward with a floating dock there. And I'm not playing chicken. I'm not waiting for them to blink. I don't want more money. I want a floating dock.
If the city or White Pass does want to install a floating dock by the time bigger cruise ships get to Alaska, consultants say engineering work needs to start by this fall at the latest. In Haines, I'm Emily Files.
After a couple delays aimed at conserving king salmon, subsistence fishing is set to open in Chilkat Inlet. And the chum harvest for commercial gillnetters in the Northern Lynn Canal is winding down, while sockeye numbers are still weak. Mark Soggy has the most recent harvest numbers. Soggy manages commercial and subsistence fisheries for the Alaska Department of Fish and Game in Haines. This conversation was recorded today after the most recent gillnet opening.
It looks like you were right last week when you said that you thought we had reached peak chum harvest in District 15.
Yeah, the catches continue to decline. We're down to, I think, an estimate of about 161,000 for this week, and that's expected to continue to decline.
The second highest catch was pinks?
Yeah, pinks. We got about 28,000 last week. That is a good number, and that's, you know, indicative of the fact that that we're expecting and seeing a real strong pink return this year. And that's happening all over northern southeast, and they are flooding into the Chilkat Weir, and they're coming into the fishery as well.
And sort of a nominal number of kings this week.
Yeah, a very small number of kings. They're declining also, of course, because of timing. Chinook catch was about 90 this last week, and that's down from 140 the week before.
And how about sockeye? Are they coming in stronger than they have been? Are you still worried about those numbers?
Yeah, well, the catch is very low compared to what it could be and should be, I think. But it went up, which is a positive thing. It went up about 4,200 fish this last week, but no sign of a big concentration of fish moving through, just like an increased volume of the trickle at this point. And in the worrying thing for me was more what in 15A, we had a lot of boats fishing, a few boats fishing at Point Sherman, and they were mostly getting chum salmon, very few sockeye, and that indicates to me that there's just not a body of fish moving into the canal at this point that will increase our escapement at Chilkat primarily is what I'm worried about at this point.
See, it still is not on track to meet escapement goals at Chilkat?
No, it's getting closer. You know, last few days, 900, and day before yesterday, 1,000 or 1,100 yesterday. And so we're up above 10,000 now, which is a better number, but it's still a low number. The projection is still under goal at this point.
How about Chilkat?
Chilkat fish wheels have been consistently below average. That's, I think, due to the fact that the main stem sockeye component is really, really weak this year for reasons I don't understand or know. And those are the fish that run by Klukwan primarily. And so I think that combined with the fact that we've reduced the number of days that the subsistence fish can occur in the river has meant that there's less fish available than is expected.
Speaking of subsistence, the Chilkat Inlet subsistence fishery had been delayed a week. Are you still on track to open tomorrow?
Yeah, we will open it tomorrow, but just south of Letnikoff Point, again, just setting the upper end of the inlet as a refuge for any kings that happen to be swimming around out there. We encourage people to, if they do happen to run into a mature king, to let it go if it's still a viable fish. I'm not sure how many fish there will be out there at this point. We're not seeing a lot in the gillnet fishery, but Chilkat Inlet's, a place where they concentrate and mill, so it's possible it will be good fishing.
All right, let's talk about the next gillnet opening.
Yeah, because of Chilkat, I decided to not open the eastern shoreline, which has been open since the beginning of the season. That's from Point Sherman up to the lower end of Talsani Island on the east shore only. And this week I did a switch and over to the western shoreline instead. That will allow most of the fish that are in the canal north of Point Sherman to make it up there without having any fishing pressure. In the lower end, I gave one day only from Point Bridget south. That's half of what we have been doing. And the same reason, because the fish tend to mill around the Point Bridget to Mab shoreline, the sockeye do. And then so we're trying to cut down the harvest on that. But the chum salmon remains open 7 days a week at the boat harbor side. And we're also giving a second day in the postage stamp area, mostly to focus on harvest of chum.
All right. Is there anything else you want to add?
Not this time. I just wish everyone good luck with the subsistence fishing this week. I think the fish are showing up in Chilkat better, and then Chilkat fishing should be okay as well.
Conversations with Fish and Game's Mark Soggy will be a regular feature on KHNS through the season. This conversation was recorded today. You can listen to the full discussion on KHNS.org. For KHNS News, I'm Abby Collins. Thanks for joining us this evening. You can listen to and read local news stories on our website at khns.org.